Notice here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. So Peter here, he's going to start speaking about humility. And I like this because in addressing the elders of the church here, he calls himself a fellow elder. And he's basically, he's humbling himself by placing himself on the same level as the rest of the elders. Okay, now even though, hey, this is Peter, okay? He's an apostle. He's one of the first, one of the 12 disciples, okay? So he was with Jesus. He could have said, hey, I'm Peter, okay? He had a lot to say. But no, he just says, I'm a fellow elder, and I like that. Even though he was an apostle and all the rest. He realized, of course, that he was no better than anyone else. And some of you may know Peter's story. You might remember, of course, he denied the Lord 3 times in the same night. And of course, Peter had been humbled through that experience. And he was just very grateful to simply be a partaker here of the glory that will be revealed, referring to the hope that we have in heaven in Christ's coming kingdom. So, he encourages the elders here, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, in regards to this idea of shepherding, you should know that in that culture, this was an illustration that was very commonly understood. For instance, in the ancient Israelite shepherd, for example, they would go before the sheep, as you know. They would lead the sheep. They would look for green pastures for them to eat and of course, places for them to drink and shelter for them to rest. And of course, all along, they would be looking out for danger the entire time as a shepherd. Therefore, you know, number one, as a church leader, we should be, of course, shepherding the flock of God the same way. By feeding the sheep, by protecting the sheep, by guiding the sheep. It's an example for the elders and the church leaders, you see. And number two, we should, as Christian leaders, remember that they have been given a responsibility for tending the flock that belongs to God, not to them. Okay, a lot of people, this is my church. No. Okay, the flock of God doesn't belong to any person or persons. Okay, the church leaders are under shepherd, under, of course, the master shepherd and overseer of our souls, that being Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, as you know. And like Jesus, church leaders are to serve not by compulsion, Peter says here. The work of the ministry is to be done joyfully and not merely as just a duty. Oh, I got to do this, okay? And I have to be honest with you. That's not easy to do sometimes, okay? And sometimes I confess, it's a struggle for me as a pastor. And why, Joseph? Oh, don't you love it? Isn't it so joyful all the time serving in the ministry? Oh boy, who's in ministry? You can, Pastor Brian knows, okay? And why is that? Well, because the reality is, some sheep just don't want to listen. Okay? And when they go astray, honestly, it can be very heartbreaking. It can be very saddening. It can be very discouraging as a pastor or a church leader. Because God has put this heart to want to help people, but sometimes people just don't want to listen. And it's not very joyful sometimes, to be honest. It's heartbreaking. Now, Peter, as he continues, he also says here that leaders should be serving for dishonest gain. Or, you know, not for dishonest gain, that is. and not for money, for example. So, now, hey Joseph, aren't you in the ministry for money? Oh my gosh. Okay, you know, if I was in the ministry for money, you know, I wouldn't be in the ministry at all, to be honest with you, okay? If I was in the ministry for money, I never would have resigned as a high school teacher back in California, okay? If I was so interested in money. Christians, not just leaders, Christians are to be interested in doing the Lord's will and trusting Him to supply all their needs. Okay? As Paul the Apostle encouraged us here in Philippians 4:19, he says, "And my God shall," that means He will, "supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do we believe this? You see? That's the key. Christian leaders, Christians in general, hey, you know, we need to make certain that our work, especially in the ministry, as Peter's telling us here, is not motivated by money or dishonest gain, but rather by love for the Lord and a genuine love for the sheep. And Peter, of course, he had denied the Lord, as we mentioned, 3 times. And Jesus, of course, he appeared to Peter, if you remember, after he resurrected in the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21, 3 times, Jesus asked Peter, "Hey, Peter, do you love me?" You remember the story? And perhaps 1 time for each time that Peter maybe denied him. I don't know. Okay? But 3 times Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus replied, "Feed my lambs." And then Jesus said, "Tend my sheep," and then "feed my sheep," okay? These are the things he said. And here, Peter, of course, encourages the elders to do the same exact thing. He says, if you love the Lord, then 1 Peter 5, chapter 2, or verse, chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly," verse 3, "nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Now, the elders are called to be examples, okay? Some elders set very good examples, and some not so good, okay? And the reality is, because we're not Jesus, we're just doing our best, okay? But this is the thing. How are we to strive to be good examples as church leaders? That's the question. Paul, the apostle, said this, 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, "Hey, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." That's the key. Just be like Jesus and do your very best to be like Jesus. And, you know, to Timothy, he said this, 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So it's that trickling effect from Jesus to all the way down. Now, as Peter continues here, verse 4, he says, "And when the chief shepherds appear, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So, the chief shepherd, Jesus, is our chief shepherd. He is our example, as I mentioned. And if a sheep constantly ran off, okay, you should know this, if a sheep constantly ran off and wouldn't listen to the shepherd, always getting in trouble, well, back in that day, the shepherd would get that sheep, and guess what he would do? You know? He would break his leg, okay? He would break his leg and he would intentionally do it and hold that sheep. He'd reset it, of course, and bandage it up and then grab that sheep, put him on his shoulder, and everywhere he went, he would just carry that little sheep around until the leg mended. And then once it was healed, he'd let him go. But guess what? That sheep would never run away again. And that's how the shepherds dealt with the sheep back then, okay? Now, Jesus is our chief shepherd, okay? We are simply under shepherds. So we are not to break anybody's legs, okay? Now, although at sometimes I do feel like breaking some legs sometimes. It's like, ah, why don't you listen? Okay, and I admit that. It's tough. But I know that it is not how the Lord wants me to lead. I realize that. He doesn't want us to lord over anyone. He doesn't want us to break anybody's legs, okay? But He simply wants us to lead by example. Now, we need to be careful, because in regards to this breaking of legs thing, you know, that is something perhaps He may have to do to us if we don't listen. You know, believe me, He has a way of sitting us down to get our attention sometimes when we're off doing what we want to do. So be careful. 気をつけて. 1 Peter 5:5. Notice, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to your elders. Now, why would I want to submit myself to anybody? I'll submit to Jesus, but I don't know about you, Joseph, you weird bald guy. Okay, no. You know, I don't know about you, but to Jesus, yeah. Okay, why should we submit to anyone? Well, notice what the writer of Hebrews says here. Chapter 13, verse 17, he says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for who? For you. When the sheep listen, oh, what a joy it is. Oh, man. Oh, what do we got? Okay, let's do this, let's do this. And it's just a joy to see people grow and hear the Word of God and just be blessed by it. But when the sheep don't listen, oh, like I shared, what a grief it can be. The heartache and the pain and just the stress that it causes. Now, this grief and this stress and this heartache isn't just for the church leaders, not just for the pastor, but it's also for the unsubmissive sheep, because they're going to suffer. And we see that, and it hurts. Notice, it would be unprofitable for you, the last line says. So, by not listening to godly counsel, it would indeed be unprofitable for the person that I don't want to listen. I just want to do what I want to do. Okay. Okay. All right. You know, Peter is saying to respect the position that these leaders have been entrusted with as ones who have to give an account for your souls. We got to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, We did our best. You know, we shared your word to them. They just didn't want to listen, you know? And so, if these church leaders are recommending that you do anything that is not biblical, okay? No biblical foundation, nothing. No scriptures. Hey, don't listen to them. It's okay. Okay? It's, oh, I think you should do this. Well, I don't care what you think, Joseph. You know, what does the Bible have to say? Based on God's character, based upon His Word, to give godly counsel. Okay, so when that godly counsel is given, well, then you should listen. You should receive the advice. Now, and apply it to your life. We shouldn't be murmuring. We shouldn't be complaining. Well, I didn't like what that person said. Here, let me go ask Pastor Brian. Okay, oh, I don't like what Pastor Brian said. Okay, let me go ask Pastor Adam. And we go from leader to leader to finally try and hit what our ears want to hear. And if we don't like what everybody here says, oh, I'll go over to Mustard Seed. Oh, I'll go over here. And they start bouncing around from church to church just to hear what their itching ears want to hear. Believe me, there's pastors out there who will tell you whatever you want to hear. But will they tell you the truth? You know, that would be unprofitable for you. Why would they want to listen to sound? Why wouldn't they want to listen to sound biblical advice? Why do people not want to listen to what the Word of God has to say sometimes? Now, lucky for me, I go through the Word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So when we come to places like this, you know it's not because I want to get on my high horse and tell people what's up. No, we're going through the Scriptures. This is where it's at. Okay? Many times, the reason why people don't want to listen is because nothing more than pride. That's it. Pride. And here Peter warns against pride. He says, 1 Peter 5, the last part, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Our pride will destroy us if we let it. But how are we to resist and fight against being so proudful? It's something we've all probably struggle with in one way or another. By practicing the opposite of pride, and that being humility. Notice as Peter continues, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 will read, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Know that God cares for you. We know that. And know that you can give Him all your worries, all your anxieties, all your problems. For He truly does care for you and for me when we're feeling down or whatever it is. But it takes humility. It takes humility to admit that we need help. But some may say, you know, Joseph, you know, I can handle it. I don't need your help. I don't need his help. I don't need anybody's help. I can do it myself. Right? We have people like that, right? And that's nothing more than your pride speaking. Especially in spiritual things. No way. Now, if we look back at our life, we can start looking and seeing where that pride actually got us. It got us nowhere but trouble. Okay? And in Psalms 10, verse 4, it says, this psalm explains that the proud are so consumed with themselves that their thoughts are far from God. Notice what it says. It says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. You see? His proud countenance. Not even thinking about what God thinks. Only about self. The wicked are so blinded by their pride that they think they have no need for God. They don't need God. They don't need godly counsel. Hey, I can do it. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's the attitude people have. Or worse, that they don't need God or godly counsel. But you know what? Even worse, God should accept me the way I am. You know what? God should accept me just because I deserve to be accepted. Wait a minute, okay? And this hits home for me. People who think, oh, I'm a good guy. You know, I should just be accepted. I should be able to do what I want to do, and God should love me and forgive me, and that's it. You know, God's a God of love, well, then He'll love me, and that's that. And I'll go to heaven. And that hits home for me because that was my dad, okay? That was my earthly father. And you see, my father, he died several years back. But as much as he denied the existence of God, he didn't have anything to do with God, okay? And as much as he denied God, as much as he said, oh, I don't want to tell you the things he said. But anyways, as much as he denied God, he used to say this. He used to say, if there is really a God out there, and if there's really a heaven out there, well then, you know what? I'm going to be there. Oh, really? How do you think you're going to be there, Dad? Well, because there was never a man that I didn't beat up. And he used some vulgar language at that point. But there was never a man that I didn't beat up that didn't deserve it. Okay? He says, in fact, because of me, many people were crying out to God for the first time in their lives, God help me, God help me, God help me. I'm His servant. Many people came to God because of me. So if there's a God and there's a heaven, well then I'll be there because I'm God's servant. Oh man. Like I said, the wicked are so blinded by their pride that some think that God should accept them as they are because they deserve His acceptance. Okay, my dad's an extreme example, of course, but there's other people who think along those lines. Listen, apart from simply believing in Jesus Christ and receiving Him as our Savior, there is nothing we can do to deserve His acceptance. Pride is giving ourselves the credit for something that God has already accomplished. Pride is taking the glory that belongs to God alone and keeping it for ourselves. Pride is essentially self-worship. That's what it is. And throughout the scriptures, we are told about the consequences of pride. And we know Satan himself was even cast out of heaven because his pride. Okay? Pride has even kept, of course, many people from accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because to be able to come to that place, to admit that we cannot do it on our own. We cannot inherit eternal life on our own. And to come to that place to admit it is a very difficult thing for any proudful person to admit. Okay? To admit they need help with anything. Anything that we accomplish in this world would not have even been possible if it were not for God enabling and sustaining us to do so. Understand that God alone is the giver and the sustainer of our life, of all life. Okay? And by understanding this, right, we will put our life in a proper perspective to help keep us from pride. As King David prayed, Psalm 39:4, he said, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. What makes us think that we're going to go on and live forever? Do we realize how frail we really are? Do we realize how short life really is? And sadly, many people wait until it is too late before considering such things. And that is why we are being warned today. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, Paul says, we then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And verse 2 says, for He says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we can confess our sins before God. Today is the day we could repent from our pride. Today is the day we can be forgiven. And today is the day that, of course, you can give forgiveness to others. And by doing so, we'll be forgiven. Today is the day you can do what you know the scriptures are telling you to do. Romans 10:8-10 says this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you want to be forgiven, it's very simple. Simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. Okay? That's it. Very simple. But you know, talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Don't just say you believe in God. Show your faith. Listen. Obey. Understand the scriptures and what they are telling us to do and not to do. Receive sound, godly counsel from your leadership. Apply it to your life. That will be profitable for you. Now is the day of salvation. Today is a day we can repent and get right with God. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow may not be waiting for you. That's the reality. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We recognize how much we all fail in this area. Lord, many people might think that I'm saying these things to certain people, but Lord, you're speaking to me. I know there's many times I didn't want to receive godly counsel, and I paid some prices for it. Lord, your word is true. We can trust it. And when we want to ignore it, there are consequences to pay. That's for sure. Help us not be so proudful, because we know where it will eventually end up. To our destruction. To our own grief. And to the grief of everyone around us. That's not what, at least I want my life to be known as. If this was my last day, riding home on my skateboard, perhaps. Just like that, I could be gone. And I'll be with you. And I'll be rejoicing. But how did I represent you, Father? Lord, help us consider these things today. Because we know not one of us is promised tomorrow. So please, Father, help us. Forgive us. Convict us. Use us for your glory. As we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.